Today, we are talking to a real live kick-ass cowgirl and stepmom. You will not want to miss this.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, step-family life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
Welcome, welcome. I am so excited about today's guest. She happens to be a family friend of my husband, Craig's, and has become a good friend and mentor of mine. She also happens to be a stepmom and a pretty kick-ass one at that. Gay Gaddis is an entrepreneur, author, artist, and trailblazer. She is the founder of T3, the largest women-owned independent advertising agency in the U.S., which she led for over 30 years. She is a popular speaker on women's leadership, company culture, and entrepreneurship, and she wrote the book Cowgirl Power, How to Kick Ass in Business and Life, which I will link to in the show notes because it is definitely worth a read. She is a contributor to Forbes and recently founded and launched the Women Who Mean Business, a women's development program that she co-teaches at the McCombs School of Business at the University of Texas. Gay has received numerous awards, including the 2022 Distinguished Alumni Award by the University of Texas, 2021 Hall of Fame Award by the McCombs School of Business, the Liz Carpenter Lifetime Achievement Award, Fast Company's Top 25 Women Business Builders, Inc. Magazine's Top 10 Entrepreneurs of the Year, and C200's Luminary Award for Entrepreneurial Excellence. In addition to all of this, Gay is also an amazing artist, and her bold and vibrant paintings have been shown in a number of prestigious galleries around the country, including New York City and Santa Fe. Texas Monthly Magazine named Gay as one of 10 artists to collect now. Gay and her husband also own and operate the historic Double Heart Ranch in the Texas Hill Country, home to Gay's private art studio and gallery, Fossil Ridge. So I am so thrilled to have Gay with us today. Let's dive right in. Gay, I am so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course, Cameron. It's always fun to see you.
Yes. And I mentioned in the intro that Gay and I have known each other for a while, and she is family friends with my husband and his family. And I'm so thrilled to have her here. She has been a friend and a mentor, and it's just a wonderful stepmom story for how to do all the things. So Gay, I always like to start out the podcast asking my guests what their stepmom story is. So tell us your stepmom story. How did you become a stepmom? All the things.
Okay. Well, I married my second husband who had two young boys, and I mean young. One was two and one was five. And so I had a daughter from a previous marriage. So all of a sudden there were three children, and you know, you wake up one day and there are three kids running around the house, where before it had been one. And, you know, it's really interesting because, I had known the boys, I knew who they were, but I didn't really know them. And you have this kind of idyllic dream, I think, you know, when you marry someone you love and you're ready to start your life, and all things are roses and bluebirds. And then all of a sudden, here come the children. And somehow, I expected them to immediately embrace me as the wonderful person that I am. I'm kidding. But, and they don't, because all of a sudden, they're thrust into an unusual situation, to a house that they had not lived in before, into, you know, a relationship with somebody that's not their real mom. And they love their mom, you know, and so not to replace their mother, but wanting to somehow find that footing with them. And my friend and my disciplinarian, and when you have two little kids, it's different because they do need discipline and they do need direction and they do need those things. And when you try to insert yourself to do that, sometimes you become the evil one, you know, and it's really kind of a difficult role. But that's where I found myself, you know, many years ago, 1988. And it was an interesting first couple years is what I can tell you.
Well, I love that you mentioned this whole concept of like what you envisioned life with Lee to be like, and then sort of the reality, because I think so many stepmoms find themselves in that situation. And I know I certainly did. I always talk about how when Craig and I got married, I had like the monogram Christmas stockings and Easter baskets, and I just thought it was going to be perfect, and realized very quickly that that was not how things work. But what was the biggest surprise with all of that, with your expectations and then the newfound reality of having these two kids there all the time?
Well, it was a lot of work. I mean, you know, I was an only child growing up.
And, me too. You
know, and so, you know, I wasn't used to sharing things with so many people. And then I had this only child. And so all of a sudden have two rowdy little normal boys. I mean, you know, they were just rough and tumble and fighting and all this stuff. It was like having two wild puppies in the house, you know.
Well, yeah, not to reinforce the gender stereotypes, but boys are very different when they're little.
They are. And, you know, I had boys that were my friends growing up, but I had never been the mother or, you know, in a household with that. And literally they were fighting every day and throwing things at each other and harassing my daughter. And, you know, it was just wild. Yeah. So it was not a surprise so much. It's just that I wasn't used to that. And I had to really adjust. And of course, as we'll talk about later, I had started a business. And I had a lot going on in my career and my personal life beyond being a mom. And so it was just a lot of complexities. And as I mentioned earlier, you're getting used to a new relationship with the person you love. And so like we had years, we knew each other, but it wasn't like we had years of doing this. And neither one of us had ever done this before, you know, trying to be a parent to the other one. And Lee was trying to be a parent somehow to my daughter. And it was just a really complex situation, to be honest.
So how did y'all balance, you know, one of the things that I think catches stepmoms off guard a lot of times is realizing that they have a different parenting style from their partner. How did you guys navigate that? Did y'all have the same parenting style, or did you have, because they were little back then, but how did you navigate all that? Because that can be really challenging too. If you're parenting Rebecca in a certain way and he's parenting the boys in a certain way, you know?
Yeah. The thing that was interesting that we figured out pretty fast is that Lee was better with the children when they were young. I never was a babysitter when I was growing up. I mean, I wasn't around little children very much. And some young women do that, and they love being around children, and they have babysitting jobs and all that. I never did that. So I was never really that good with little children, to be honest. And Lee was. And I'm not sure how he learned that, or that was just his instincts, but he knew how to make life fun for them. And he was always building something, or, you know, putting together something interesting and lemonade stands and taking them on little trips and doing things. And I was almost like the fourth child. I would just kind of follow along, you know, and enjoy the fun, you know. And Lee was really good at that. He was very creative.
I love that.
Entertaining them and all that. But I'm going to put the flip side to this. As I got into junior high years, and especially into high school, I was the one that clicked on. At that point, they all knew me really well, and I wasn't the new stepmom. But Lee had a little bit more trouble disciplining them and understanding some of the challenges they had in a city. And Austin wasn't quite as big then as it is now, but lots of challenges you have in school with drugs and with other influences and just things that are going on and trouble you can get into. I mean, you know, it's just, they were normal kids. They weren't unusual, but there were just challenges there. And so I was a lot better at navigating that and getting them on the straight and narrow and getting them with a purpose and goals so that they could, you know, flourish and do well in school. And Lee was a great parent, but he was not really good at that. And he never believed they were ever doing anything wrong. And I would have to say, I know that they've done this, and I was showing proof of things that were going on. finally, he would be shocked, you know, oh, how could they be doing that? So maybe it's because of my childhood, and I was always a trickster and into things. And so I just knew what they might do.
You knew what to look for.
But so it's just kind of like we flipped roles in a way, you know, that he was great with the little kids and I clicked in when they got to be a little bit older and then even through college.
But I love that you've mentioned that, because that sort of that underscores something that we talk a lot about with stepmoms, which is that, you know, especially in the first few years, stepmoms should not be the disciplinarians, that they really need to let their partners handle that until they've established a solid bond with the kids. What I hear you saying is that, like, by the time they were in middle school and high school, you had that bond with them. So they were willing to accept discipline from you in a way that when they were real little, they may not have been. I've been like, who's this lady? She's not my mom, you know?
Yeah. And actually, they did complain if I disciplined them at all when they were little. And I, you know,
yeah,
big outcry, you know, that I had no right to do that. And so it was, but some, like I said, they were really little. They were young. And they needed very much to be disciplined sometimes. And, you know, when you were just there, you had to do some things. But at the same time, you're right. As they grew older, I was able to help them reason through some things that they needed to take a clear picture on. And it just came, I don't know, that was just my role. And you're right. They trusted me more then. They had seen me in action. They knew who I was. And actually, they would come and confide in me about things that they wouldn't tell their dad. And I had to help them through a lot.
And that gives you such a valuable role in their life, right? I mean, and that's what I guess stepmoms, we have such an opportunity, you know, I mean, it can be a real slog, but it is an opportunity to really play a great role in these kids' lives. So let's talk a little bit about balance, because you have had an amazing career and continue to have an amazing career, to include starting what became the largest female-owned advertising agency in the country, which is amazing. And a best-selling book, and, you know, a phenomenal artist selling, you know, your work in galleries across the world. You've been a mentor to so many women, including me, and now my stepdaughter, Eloise, who is at the University of Texas in Austin and close to you. And we just love that y'all get together while you're down there. But that's a lot to balance with a new step family. How did you do it? Is it even possible to get that balance, you know?
I've always said in everything, there's really no balance. Sometimes you're all in at one thing and all in at the other thing. And you just have to, everyone has to understand that you can't be just perfectly, you know, well, I'm going to spend this much time every day with the children, this much time at work. It doesn't work like that, because demands of your career and for me, building a business and managing that was monumental. And there were days where I had to be gone. I would be gone for several days and, you know, on business trips and doing things. So you had to just figure it out. And I've always said that moms, be it stepmom or just any mom, are probably some of the best organized people on earth if you're juggling all these things, because you have to plan out everything. Where are they going to be? Who's going to pick them up? Who's going to be here for this? And so it's just like a, you know, a jigsaw puzzle putting all that together. But it was hard. And I won't say it wasn't hard. And a lot of times I felt like I was missing out on some things for them, but they all benefited in the end. And one of the things I say in my book, and that I'm a real big believer in, is that you don't separate work from family. And when I was home and like around the dinner table, we talked about what was going on at the office, not in great detail. And it's that when they were younger, you wouldn't want to put things in their minds that they didn't need to worry about. But you know, we always tried to kind of explain to them the interesting things we were doing. And then we'd ask them, of course, what are you doing at school and what's going on? It would just be a dialogue around it. And so they knew what I was doing, and I wasn't just gone just to be gone. I was really working, and I had clients and I had staff and people that they got to come to the office, you know, and they knew the people, they knew where we were every day. And so it wasn't like just separate, you know, okay, now we go home, we try to be good parents, and then we run over here and do the work thing. So it was all, to me, just one inextricably linked life. You know, it was all one thing, and you tried to blend everybody in and out of as much of it as you could so that they would understand.
I love that, because it does give them a window into your world. And we did that too, but in sort of an unconscious way. Like, I didn't realize that we were even doing it. And, you know, now the kids will ask me something about, you know, work. And I'm like, oh, you did know what we were talking about. You know, I think it's great.
And it helps them, I think, form their career options and some things that they like or don't like about maybe your choices. And so to give them that visibility into what it's like to be a working parent and what it takes every day to get up and make money and do things. And, you know, we would be excited and we'd say, gosh, we won this piece of business. And so hopefully we're going to make a nice profit on that. And maybe we'll all go on a nice trip this year. You know, it's, I could relate my work back to how it benefited them. And they totally appreciated it, especially the older they got.
That's great. And Gay mentioned her book, and I want to put a little plug in here. It's called Cowgirl Power, How to Kick Ass in Business and Life. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. It's fantastic. And it has guidance on all sorts of things. It's not stepmom life related, but it is life related. So it's really a wonderful life lesson and going into her background in Texas, and it's fantastic. So I'll put a link in the show notes for you to go and snag that. Well, so talking about balance, let's talk a little bit about self-care, because it's a big buzzword these days. I think, you know, people talk about it, but, you know, it's sort of an amorphous thing. And we already know that women have, by and large, the majority of the mental load in a family. But I've been thinking a lot lately about what that means for a stepfamily, the mental load that stepmoms bear, because I feel like, and obviously I'm biased being a stepmom and you probably are too, but I feel like our mental load is a little different than, you know, a first family's mom's mental load, but I think maybe even a little bit more. That can get really complicated. I mean, what has self-care meant to you, and how do you, with all of these balancing and competing priorities, how have you made sure that you have taken care of yourself?
I'm not sure I always did a very good job with that. There just wasn't enough time in the day. And there were years that I didn't really exercise. I was running around all the time and I was certainly active, but you know, I didn't take the time away because to do certain things. Like I wouldn't go off and get manicures and I didn't go off and go to yoga class. I just didn't, because by the time I got through with all the work I had to do and everything to keep up with my company, I felt guilty, to be honest. I mean, why would I go off for an hour when I got home to do that when I needed to be with the kids and or with my husband? And so it was just, I pushed myself aside a lot. And I don't know that I ever resented it, but I knew I was doing it. And I knew I wasn't always taking care. Now, the one thing I did do, I'm a big extrovert, if you can't tell. And extroverts need to be around people and doing things. And so socially, I was pretty active. And I did a lot of volunteer and all that stuff. But it was a way to kind of bring my family into it. And, you know, we did a lot of things socially together. And so that helped me a lot, you know, to have that social outlets and be involved in things in the community. And so for me, that was kind of a self-care, but it's not what we typically think of as self-care. But I know now that that was really important to me, that I was around a lot of interesting people and able to, you know, exert my extroverted personality into almost everything. And that was good, you know, so maybe that was my self-care.
But I think I think that is a form of self-care. I mean, self-care is really whatever it means to you, right? For some people, it's pedicures and yoga. For others, it's maybe, you know, getting around people recharges you. Then I think that's absolutely, it's doing something for yourself. So I think that's
great. It was a way I could include them a lot. I mean, they got to participate in a lot of things and be involved in the community and help with volunteer work and all that, which was good. I mean, I believe that that was kind of a nice thing for them to feel, you know, really a part of the Austin fabric and participating and doing things outside of just their normal school activities. And so it was positive, I thought, for all of us.
I love that. What do you see the challenges now? I mean, I think, you know, you have had, your experience has run the gamut because you did start out with stepkids at a small age and, you know, have seen the challenges evolve, right? Like challenges with teens, as you alluded to, are very different than challenges with 2 and 4 year olds.
Yeah.
How has that evolved? And what are you seeing, you know, are the challenges for grown stepkids, because we are seeing an enormous number of, you know, they call them gray blended families where, mm-hmm. you know, obviously this is not you, but, you know, you have couples that are getting married in their 70s and 80s and have adult stepkids, but you have yeah. seen the challenges evolve. I guess, what are the biggest differences that you're seeing now compared to when the kids were little?
Well, and again, I don't really have that firsthand experience, like you said, because my children were all little. And the blessing of our kids was that they were real close to the same age. So they were like 5, 3, and 2 when we got together. So activities that we planned, and I told you Lee was really good at that, all made sense because they were in that same sphere of age. You know, they were interested in the same types of things. If you'd had someone who was 20 and a 2-year-old, I mean, that's like two different things. And it would really, I think that would be extremely challenging, or even a 30-year-old or whatever, you know, you find yourself in. And as you age with these step children, really, because how do you divide your time when you have that big of a delta in age? And so it was easier in a way because all our kids wanted to do a lot of the same things, you know, and they were kind of in the same school and they were kind of, you know, so it wasn't like, whew, you know, here to here. So I would find it probably interesting and maybe totally different if you had adult children, because they would maybe relate to you right off the bat in a different way. They're more mature. They have experience in life. And unless they really dislike you for some reason, or there's some reason that something's happened to tarnish that relationship, hopefully they would be able to at least relate to you as an adult. And that would be a little bit more of a, maybe, I don't know, it's easier, but it you're just in a different place. Little children don't know how to do that, you know, and yeah. it's really difficult. And they're angry sometimes because all of a sudden their life got thrown apart. You know, when the children are older in their 20s, 30s, or having their own families or whatever, it may not be, you know, easy, but they might also think of their parents now as, well, I'm glad they found someone to spend time with that they enjoy. You know, they can understand. Mm-hmm. That. When you're a child, you're thinking, oh, my world got screwed up, you know, and I don't have my two parents at home. And they always hope they get back together. I mean, I think that's a common denominator of almost they want them back together. Somehow can we, and I think they sometimes will try to sabotage these new relationships to say, if I can blow this apart, maybe my parents will get back together.
Yeah.
As you age and get older, and maybe even your former spouse is deceased or not even there anymore. And then these older steps, you know, would think, oh, well, good. Well, I'm so glad, you know, that my mom has a companion for the rest of her life that she loves. And, you know, it can almost take the pressure off the children, because then that parent has a new life to live and not so dependent, you know, on their relationship yeah. with them. So there's a lot of dynamics there, but it's just different. It's just so different. And yeah. I don't know exactly what it's like because I've never done that.
But as your kids and as Rebecca and your stepsons have gotten older and they're all now adults, you know, what are the challenges that that have come up since they've been adults? Or has it been more smooth sailing? It feels more blended, more like, you know, you're all part of the same team.
Well, the good thing, like I said, is they grew up together and they love each other. They're, you know, they're not blood relatives, but they're, well, the two boys are, but they, you know, they care about each other. And the thing that Lee and I really worked on, as we kind of amassed some wealth and moving forward in life, is we were trying to be very equitable with the three children in that way. Now, they were all different. They all had different interests, but we tried to feed the interests that was important to them. And I think they all knew that. And we all tried to treat them very fairly from a financial standpoint too. And so that helps, because I think the biggest problem is when you have children who feel like somebody outdid them or got more or something, and it creates a jealousy and mm-hmm. angst between them. So we've really tried to always kind of treat them as fairly as possible in all ways we can.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, if you had to go back and do it all over again, or, you know, if you're talking to a brand new stepmom, what would your biggest piece of advice for them be?
and just conjure up all the patience that you can get, because honestly, it's really takes incredible patience to deal with this. You want to move things along, and I'm a doer, and I like to fix things and get things done and move on. I'm not really good when I can't. I mean, I don't want to say that I'm a control freak or something, because I'm not that, but I see a problem or an opportunity and I move on it, I fix it, and we move on. When you get into a situation where you cannot possibly do that, you can't push things any faster. You can't push the fix button the way you want to. You've got to let certain things work themselves out. And so that is frustrating for people who are, you know, get it done, doers, fixers, you know, we in life who feel like we are problem solvers and you just can't solve some of this. And it's frustrating. It's difficult. So patience. Yes. You know, if you just let things kind of take their course and try to do the right thing. I mean, you know, you do the best you can and you try to love the children and you try to give them everything you can, but they're not always going to respond. And you have to be aware of that too, that you may not get the love back or the appreciation that you want because they don't have it to give at that point.
Yeah, that's such a good point of view. I think that's really sort of taking the long view, right? Because, you know, something may happen in the short term and you can kind of, if you can kind of take a step back and say, okay, this sucks right now, but you know, what's it going to be like in 20 years? You know, I mean, kid, I always remind my stepmoms that kids are adults far longer than they're actually kids. So like once you get them to college and beyond, you've got a whole lifetime, hopefully, right? God willing, mm-hmm. you've got a whole lifetime with them to have these adult conversations that they can't really process when they're kids. So if we can take the long view, and I love that patience is your piece of advice because it is so hard, especially I think that like as stepmoms, we tend to see things maybe more clearly than our spouses sometimes. And you mentioned that mm-hmm. earlier that like, you know, Lee didn't always see the need for discipline the way you did. And I always say this, you know, our partners have the, you know, rose colored love lenses on when they look at their kids, and stepmoms can see it more objectively, right? But, you know, having the patience to deal with all that as it comes is really key. But it's hard, right? It's really hard.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that just aren't easy in life. But there, you know, there would always be though, the little good nuggets here and there. So that's what would get you through, you know, there'd be the joy or something fun that we all did or the laughter or, you know, or just some, you know, fun little things that would kind of keep you going, you know, even though sometimes it was rough and not easy, but there were always the good points along the way.
I love that. Look for the good nuggets. That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Gay. This was so fun and love having you on. Appreciate all that you do. And I think you're a great model for stepmoms everywhere.
Well, thank you, Cameron. And I appreciate you inviting me. And hopefully this will help some of the women out there who are navigating these challenges.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.